This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. We've got a new segment on this show. And if you want us to help you, we can. Because we work at a radio station and we know some people, we can make some phone calls. If there's something going on in your life that you could use a hand with, our segment is called Dear John. And you go to our website at bayou957.com and you click on the Dear John icon. And then if there's something you need a hand with, we can help out if you have.
What is this we? This is,
well,
Dear John.
Or me.
This is not. Yeah, it's you. It's all you.
You want to ask a question about something going on in your life?
If
about,
you need,
about this radio show, this radio station, whatever the case may be, we can help.
About John's haircut. I mean, anything that you want to have a question about the show that relates to him and not me.
Yeah. Just click on, go to our website, bayou957.com. Click on the Dear John icon. Send it to us, and if it's good, we'll read it on the air, and hopefully we can all help each other out.
Oster logic. That's what you will hope to dispense during Dear John.
Hey, real quick, did you see this? This father in Massachusetts got arrested after his five-year-old son took heroin to school. And then he bragged about how it makes him feel like Spider-Man. Five-year-old.
Think about it.
A father in the People's Republic of Massachusetts, I used to work there, live there, is facing criminal charges after his five-year-old son brought smack to school, heroin, dirt, Shanghai Sally, yam yam. Just one taste. And then he said tasting it made him feel like Spider-Man. The father, Benny Garcia, got himself arrested because of that. But his son, his five-year-old, took a bag of smack to kindergarten last Thursday. And he put some of the powder in his mouth. The boy told the teacher he got it from his living room. This is a unique.
Oh, he ratted his dad out.
This is a unique version of show and tell.
Yes.
This is the type of show and tell that gets parents put in prison.
Well, think about it though. Spidey sense, smack, they're not that far apart.
The boy told his teacher he got it from his living room, and he said eating the powder turns him into the superhero whose image was stamped on the plastic bag. I guess that's what some people do. I don't do heroin, but I guess if you buy heroin, they'll label it different ways. This happened to be labeled with Spider-Man's picture on it, and of course the five-year-old kid is going to be drawn to it.
Right. Falls into the hands of children.
The father deserves a smack. Bayou 95.7.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterland Morning Show. You know, on the show, we mention how times change and how things that used to be okay aren't okay anymore. And one of those is the word midget. As a matter of fact, Hockey Canada is dropping that word from their lexicon, from divisions, because they say they want to be more inclusive. There used to be evidently midget hockey up there in Canada, but they weren't talking about our little friends. There used to be midget auto racing. There used to be midget all kinds of stuff. As we sit here in the year 2019, that word is now that's their N-word for little people.
You realize that the auto racing refers to the cars, not the drivers.
Well, it used to refer to the cars.
It refers to the cars, not the drivers.
They're going to be changing.
They're not, because it refers to the cars, not the drivers. They will continue to call that, as they always have.
No, look for that term to be switched from the midget cars to the dwarf cars.
That will not happen. As an auto racing enthusiast, an expert, that will not happen. Please continue.
But if that's our little friend's N-word, I don't care if it's a person or a car. I mean, imagine calling a car an N-word. Imagine seeing a small black car and say, look at that N-word.
I don't think anybody else has an N-word.
People
say that they try to make it a urinating contest between various words, which I find fascinating, and I'm glad that George Carlin didn't live long enough to see it, actually. But it's just, I don't think anybody else, I don't think any other culture has an N-word. I don't think any other group has people have that.
Well, this is part of the cancel culture, and they want this word canceled. And this is breaking news out of Toronto. The term midget is being dropped from youth divisions in Canadian hockey because the government governing body aims to be more inclusive. I guess they're not very inclusive by calling it that. Hockey Canada says it wanted to be sure it wasn't, quote, putting up barriers to keep people away from the sport, unquote. So the midget hockey leagues, they feel with using that word would keep some people away from the sport. The term midget has long been used in a variety of sports, although it is considered derogatory by many. See, 10 or 15 years ago, 20 years ago, there weren't too many people thinking the word midget was derogatory. I think the only people who think the word midget is derogatory, probably midgets. And we all know that there's a difference when you're talking about little people, which is what we're evidently supposed to refer to them now. You know, dwarves and midgets are two different people. One has the same size torso as you and me and just small arms and legs. The other, everything is small on them. So there is a difference. See, this is what happened here. This issue generated attention about a year ago when the parent of a young son with dwarfism noticed the term on a banner at a shopping mall up there. So this parent had a dwarf for a son and said, look, I'm offended by the term midget hockey. So evidently they probably won't be changing the name from midget hockey to dwarf hockey. They probably won't be doing that. it's interesting. Also dropped starting next hockey season are these terms: novice, peewee, bantam, and atom, A-T-O-M. They will be replaced with age-based designators. The change was approved at Hockey Canada's Winter Congress over the weekend. That's how.
Now that sounds like a way of just. I'm not sure what the problem with the word novice is, but I guess it's if you listen to that, what they're doing is eliminating all the words and making them just generic age ranges.
This is where we're heading.
Well, it's the way of in sports of leveling the playing field. It's another way of no winners, no losers. Everyone gets a blue ribbon. That I have a problem with.
No tall people, no short people. Everybody the same. As I mentioned, the changes in lingo were approved at Hockey Canada's Winter Congress over this past weekend. That's how big hockey is in Canada. When people get together to meet about it and talk about it, they call it Congress.
Don't you cast aspersions on hockey? I love hockey.
I used to love hockey. I still like hockey.
I used to play video games, too, man.
Well, that has nothing to do with the video game.
I have to spend my time doing other important things.
My radio career started in Hartford, Connecticut. And they used to, when I was on the radio there, they had a team called the Hartford Whalers. And
I have their theme song here somewhere.
Brass Bonanza, it's called.
Somewhere.
And it's a famous song. And they were for, you could... They never won. They were called the Forever 500s. But when you lived and worked in Hartford, Connecticut, back then, that was something fun to do. When the greatest hockey players in the world came into that town, that was fun. And I was on the radio up there, and I made a couple of friends who worked. They used to play in a mall. It was called the Hartford Civic Center Mall. You would walk into a mall. I mean, you know, there'd be department stores, Orange Julius. There'd be a shopping mall.
Gap.
And then all of a sudden, there'd be these...
Spencer Gifts.
There were these four doors from the mall. They're like, if you want to enter this 17,000-seat arena, open these doors. And you'd have to walk through a mall to
Zabarro.
To get into the arena. The arena's still there, but they've knocked down, from what I understand, the mall that's around there.
The Great American Cookie Company.
Right there. When they scored. Oh, hockey night in Hartford.
Mm.
Tell you something.
Yeah.
Cold winter nights, Brewster. There wasn't much to do up there. Score! Ron Francis! No, I used to.
You want a real hockey song? Here's a real hockey song. You ready? Now we're talking.
Then they moved out of Hartford. They moved out to North Carolina.
There will be no speaking during the Chicago Blackhawks fight song. And I will sing.
Here come the Hawks, the mighty Blackhawks. Take the attack. We'll back you, Blackhawks. You're flying high.
Doesn't that sound like it ought to be on The Price is Right? Like Price is Right music?
Yeah, it's not a bad tune, although... Yeah. Do hockey teams' theme songs need lyrics? Shouldn't it just be the
they
song?
Actually, when Mrs. Brewster and I were in Chicago for a game a few weeks ago, they actually, she's like, they're not going to play that song, are they? And they actually play it on the stadium organ, which is awesome, without lyrics, but yeah.
Well, Hockey Canada is dropping midget and some other terms, like we mentioned, from their divisions because they want to be more inclusive, and evidently the M word wasn't very inclusive. So here's what I wonder. Oh, and by the way, after years and years and years of losing in Hartford.
They moved to Carolina.
They moved to North Carolina. And I think 2 or 3 years after they moved, they won the damn Stanley Cup. You know, and the people up there, they supported them. They went to the games. It wasn't like they played in an empty mall. I mean, empty arena. They went to the games. And they sat through all of that. And wouldn't you know, they lose. And they move to North Carolina. And a couple of years later, they win the Stanley Cup. I want to make a wager with you right now, Brewster. I want to make a wager. I think.
Well, bring it. Let's hear it.
I think that M, the midget word, is going to get removed from cars, too. I think they're going to be calling it something else.
No.
Because if that term is not inclusive and politically incorrect for hockey leagues and hockey divisions.
It refers to the cars.
I believe,
not any group of people.
Hmm.
I will not take that bet. I will gladly take your money, but I won't take that bet.
So when it comes to people, are we just going to have to call them dwarves and little people? We're not going to, because that used to be a technical term. Or can we replace that word with something else? Because you can't just say little people. That's all little people and short people. I guess that's the most inclusive term, but again, like I told you, there's a big difference between a dwarf and a midget, but now we can't say that word anymore. And anyways, as the years go on, times are changing and things change. Coming up on the show, last night in Metairie, just off of Veterans, there was a police chase. The cop car crashed, and the guy he was chasing got away, and police are still looking for him right now. You don't see that very often. Usually people don't succeed when they run from the cops. We'll have more details on that coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. So last night, there was a police chase right around Veterans Boulevard in Metairie. About 8:30 last night.
To be more specific, right around Lake Avenue.
Yeah, yeah.
Like below Bonneville, we call that.
Well, Lake Avenue in between West Esplanade and Veterans.
Right.
And the guy got away. That's the only reason I'm bringing it up, because there's police chases all the time. I mean, you see them on television from Los Angeles, and almost never does the perp being chased by the police get away. But last night, a Jefferson Parish deputy crashed his cop car while he was chasing that vehicle. And the driver was able to just get away. According to the Jefferson Parish Sheriff's Office, a deputy was attempting to stop a driver on Lake Avenue in between West Esplanade and Veterans. About 8:30 last night, during the pursuit, the deputy lost control of his vehicle and crashed into a tree. He did that when he had the suspect trapped at a dead end. So the car is at a dead end. The car has no place else to go. You would think, okay, it's over. The chase is over. But the Jefferson Parish deputy crashed his car while the car he was chasing was at a dead end. And because he was at a dead end, he couldn't drive any further. And after the cop crashed his car, the person he was chasing just exited his vehicle and ran away. Ran away on foot. Luckily, there were no injuries, but there's a person running around that neighborhood who the police were chasing. Why were they chasing him? They wanted him for drugs. They wanted him. He was wanted for possession of narcotics. And the Jefferson Parish Sheriff's deputies say they do not believe the suspect is a threat to the public. They searched for him for a couple of hours last night, and then at about 10:30 they said, that's it, we're calling it a night. We can't find the guy. So there may be somebody tweaking, running around that area, that part of Metairie. And you would think they'd be able to find him fairly soon, because the car he was driving should lead them back to him. But I think it was meth. I think that's the kind of dope that this guy was wanted on. So, again, if you see someone running around the woods, running around over there, and he looks like he's tweaking and you have an idea who he is. All right, coming up on the show, Motor Vehicle, the Office of the Motor Vehicle here in New Orleans, in Lakeview, It'll be closed again, at least the first half of today. It's not open again. The lines there are so long when it's never closed, when never takes a day off. What's it going to be like when it finally reopens? Stay tuned. We'll have the latest on that coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. The classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. If you're a Saints fan, you remember Malcolm Jenkins when he played here, the defensive back. Well, he's still playing. He's with the Philadelphia Eagles. And boy, the head of the police union in Philadelphia is no fan of Malcolm Jenkins. 2 days ago on Monday, the safety of the Philadelphia Eagles, Malcolm Jenkins, wrote an op-ed in the newspaper called the Philadelphia Inquirer. And in his op-ed, Malcolm Jenkins said he called for a culture shift in the city's police department while urging their mayor, Jim Kenney, to impact massive change with his selection of the next police commissioner. Malcolm Jenkins, not happy with the police in Philadelphia. And so on Monday in his op-ed, that's what he said in the Philadelphia Inquirer. A part of what he said, nearly every time we hear a story of an officer abusing power, whether through violence or racist Facebook postings, the police union is there to defend the bad behavior. We need a commissioner who isn't in lockstep with the union and who will instead push back when the union tries to hide and justify bad behavior. Well, the head of the Philadelphia Police Union was not happy when he read that. The head of the Philadelphia Police Union, he's this really big, fat guy with a few chins. His name's John McNesby. And boy, did he let Malcolm Jenkins have it after he read that. This is what he said. Now remember, you know, the police have to show up to work when the Philadelphia Eagles play football. And if you've got one of their football players who's ripping the police union and ripping the police in Philadelphia, what if one Sunday the Philadelphia cops said, you know, we're not going to the stadium today? And you know how the Philadelphia fans are. Some of them are animals.
Well, they go because they enjoy it, and I think they make extracurricular money by doing it. But
sure. Well, here's what the head of the Philadelphia Police Union said to the editor of the Philadelphia Inquirer. Every time I think the Inquirer cannot sink any lower in integrity and professionalism, they prove me wrong. They go lower still. Sponsoring a racist attack by a non-resident washed-up football player and trying to disguise it as a commentary on police in Philadelphia shows why the only people who still subscribe to your paper are those who use it to paper train their puppies. Hurling slurs and false allegations against police officers offers nothing in the way of improvement. Like other has-been football players, they now do most of their running with their mouths. This character's proposals, the word proposals in quotations,
right,
would leave Philadelphia's many crime victims as defenseless as his poor play has left his football team. Only the Inquirer would offer Malcolm Jenkins to tackle crime when he can't even manage to tackle his own opponents. What is the Inquirer's next plan? A survey of drug dealers? Sincerely, John J. McNesby, President, Philadelphia Lodge Number 5, Fraternal Order of Police. Way to compare him to a drug dealer.
Right, he got a couple of football euphemisms or football related terms in there.
You know, I'm surprised he didn't end that with "Go Eagles, go"
right,
on Sunday.
Right,
Eagle fly.
There it is. You know, Malcolm Jenkins is no stranger to diving into the water, sticking his toe into the water of political issues.
Oh, he's an activist. At this point, I think he's as much, if not more, of an activist than he is a football player.
In June of last year, June of 2018, he posted this message to the president on Twitter.
Mr. President, we should pardon those who have life without parole for nonviolent offenses who have served a large portion of their time. Currently, over half of the men and women sentenced to die in federal prison are there because of nonviolent crimes, 30% of which are there for nonviolent drug offenses. And as of 2013, nearly two-thirds of those people were Black. Our system is not rehabilitative. There needs to be a focus on helping people become better contributing citizens when they do return to society, as well as provide the opportunity to re-enter in a reasonable time for nonviolent offenses.
Yeah, you know, the president listened to him because the president, along with Kim Kardashian, she says the same thing about that. They've gotten people out of prison. People have walked out of prison, nonviolent drug offenders who are serving 30, 40, 50 years, life in prison. Some of those folks are walking out of prison, and laws are being changed in that regard. So in that regard, Malcolm Jenkins is helping make a difference. But there's not a lot of love right now between the Philadelphia Police Union and Malcolm Jenkins and some of the Philadelphia Eagles football players and the football team there. And, you know, he was good when they drafted him out of Ohio State. He was real good when he played here, and then he got a huge contract to go there and play there. But he's been around now for a while.
He was on the Super Bowl winning team. Yes? No?
Malcolm Jenkins was on the Super Bowl winning Saints team. I believe so. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he gets lost in that defensive backfield when you start thinking about some of the other guys. One of them is in jail right now.
He actually had 5 solo tackles and a pass deflection in that game.
Hmm. Pretty long career. Well, Malcolm Jenkins, the average NFL career is, what, 3.5 years? Now he's in double digits. Hey, we'll see how that relationship works out as we go forward between the Philadelphia Police Union and the Eagles defensive back, Malcolm Jenkins. Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. Coming up next on the show, we look at today in history. We call the segment Why Today Doesn't Suck. Suck is next here on Bayou 95.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. And it's about that time where you and I look at today in history, and we call the segment
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
November 20th. It was today in 1973.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Keith Moon, the drummer of The Who, collapses on stage during one of their shows out at the Cow Palace in California. And if you want to see that video, we've got it. We just put it up on our website at Bayou957.com. It was very interesting because he collapsed once, and then they kind of got him up again to play another song. And then he collapses again, and that's when Pete Townshend from The Who
is
got on the microphone and said, "Can anybody here play drums? Because our drummer is out." And they show Pete Townsend. Again, it's a 4-minute video. It's on our website right now. We just put it up. Pete Townsend is literally dragging the lifeless body of Keith Moon across the stage.
Is this the story where he got slipped horse tranquilizer or
I think so.
PCP or something like that?
I think so.
Jeez.
But it was the luckiest night in the world for a young Who fan because some young drummer was out there and he hopped up on stage and he finished the set.
Can you imagine?
Playing drums for the Who, and you're talking about Keith Moon, one of the greatest rock and roll drummers ever. Not that night, though. But it's a very entertaining video. Well, if you like stuff like that, and you can go check that out, like I said, on our website. We just put it up there at Bayou957.com. November 20th. It was today in 1994.
Why today doesn't suck.
David Crosby from Crosby, Stills, and Nash. Crosby, Stills, and Nash and Young.
Friend of the show. Well, sort of.
Wasn't the best interview.
He was a little surly that day.
Remember, dude, yeah. He receives a liver transplant today in 1994. And he was near death, much like Keith Moon. But David Crosby, all these years later, is still hanging out. And he's still with us.
He's still doing radio interviews.
Yeah.
Lucky for us.
November 20th. It was today in 1982.
Why today doesn't suck.
This is one of the most famous college football highlights ever. The University of California beat Stanford. And you know, those two schools are right down the street from each other. They're right. Big rivals. They play every year
right.
in Northern California.
Now, if you hadn't, let me stop you for a moment. If you hadn't said that, if you were to say on this date this year, one of the most famous incidents in college football happened, I might have gone, with no other details than that, I might have gone with Woody Hayes punching the kid in the throat.
That was close.
Yeah, that was something else.
But this was, most people thought the game was over, and Stanford, right at the end of the game, the last play of the game, kicked it off to Cal. And wouldn't you know, the kickoff returner for Cal
right.
brought it all the way back, but there was a problem. See, the band and a lot of people thought the game was already over, and the band was on the field. And the returner for Cal actually he took out the tuba player in the end zone.
Well, and it sounded like this.
Rodgers along the sideline, another one. They're still in deep trouble at midfield. They tried to do a couple of. The ball is still loose as they get it to Rodgers. They give it back now to the 30. They're down to the 20. All the band is out on the field. He's going to go into the end zone. He's going into the end zone. Will it count? The Bears have scored. But the bands are out on the field. There were flags all over the place. Wait and see what happens. We don't know who won the game. Everybody's milling around on the field. Oh, the Bears have won. The Bears have won. Oh, my God.
That's Joe Starkey with the famous ending line there. Oh, my God.
Obviously, he was the Cal play-by-play
yes.
man. I never heard the Stanford play-by-play man called that. It probably sounded the exact opposite. He probably said, oh, no.
Right.
Oh, no. Oh, the band. Oh, no. The tuba player just got run over by
right.
the
I will effort to see if I can find that.
And it makes you wonder why Stanford, there was only a couple seconds left. They just took the lead. It looked like they won the game. Why they didn't just do some kind of a squib kick? Why they ended up kicking it down the field to a guy? And there was a bunch of, there was a bunch of laterals and such and, an exciting play. Well, if you're on the Cal Berkeley side. And finally, November 20th. It was today in 2001. Madonna's childhood home in Michigan.
Why today doesn't suck.
In Oakland County, Michigan, was sold at an auction. And it was a small house, and there were a few of her items in there of rock memorabilia. It sold for $331,000. And obviously, because it was the house Madonna grew up in, that's probably why her family decided to make a public auction like that, because maybe one of her fans would spend more money to buy the house instead of just normally how people sell a house, just, you know, put an ad out, hey, here's a home for sale. But they put that house on auction, and it sold for $331,000.
And
that's a segment that we call
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Coming up on the show, you know, that crane has been hovering over Canal Street since the partially built Hard Rock Hotel collapsed. Well, now they're bringing in another crane to secure that crane to hang over the corner of Canal and North Rampart. At least it's secure now. It's still hanging there. We'll explain coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. So it's been, what, 5 or 6 weeks since the partially built Hard Rock Hotel collapsed.
October 12th.
On the corner of Canal Street and North Rampart Street here in New Orleans. And it's been awful. But obviously the worst is that a couple of people died and their bodies are still in there. They haven't gotten their bodies out of there yet. And they say it's going to be another 2 months until they implode the building. And then they said it's going to be 3 months of cleanup after that. And I mean, outside of the people dying, the next worst thing is what that has done to businesses right around there. I mean, there are some businesses that may not survive this. And you could add those businesses to the list of people who are filing lawsuits against this catastrophe. But there is some new news about that today. And if you've noticed, if you've seen it, or at least seen pictures of that, there is still one crane that is hanging over the corner of Canal Street and North Rampart Street. There's a crane that's just still, ever since they tried blowing up the cranes, they got one of the cranes down, but then that front crane is still hanging over the area there. Well, they're bringing in another crane today to secure the crane that's dangling over the streets. So, isn't that something? Crews are moving a crane into place to secure that crane. But that crane's still going to be hanging over the streets, but it will at least be more secure now. And then we still have to wait, like I said, a bunch of more weeks until they fully implode that. And that crane hangs over both Canal and North Rampart Street. It will be secured. So it'll still be hanging over there. It'll be dangling, but it'll be more secure. And I just find it so ironic how they're bringing in a crane to help secure a crane that is dangling over the streets. And they're doing that so that area will be more secure and so that the evacuation zone can shrink and more businesses can reopen. That's the latest on that. I just found the whole thing pretty ironic. All right, coming up on the show. Today is the second day, at least for this morning, that the Office of Motor Vehicles will not be open here in New Orleans or anywhere in the state because of the computer or the malware attack that happened over the weekend. We'll have the latest details on that coming up. As if life at the motor vehicle in Lakeview wasn't long enough and a nightmare enough, imagine what it's going to be like when they finally do get it reopened. Stay tuned for that coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. The classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. There's a movie out in theaters now. It's called Harriet. It's about Harriet Tubman. Harriet Tubman was born into slavery, and she became an abolitionist and a political activist. You know, as a matter of fact, for a while, they were going to put her on the $20 bill. Do you remember that going back a couple of years? They were gonna take Andrew Jackson off the $20 bill, and they were gonna put Harriet Tubman. I know our last president Barack Obama wanted to do that, and that was gonna happen. And then that's been stalled right now. I don't know what's happening with that. But the movie about Harriet Tubman is in theaters now. I haven't seen it yet. I'm sure it's an interesting story. The reason I'm bringing it up right now is I just read that the role of Harriet Tubman, according to a bigwig Hollywood movie executive, a studio executive, he hasn't been named yet, but he wanted Julia Roberts to play Harriet Tubman, to star as Harriet Tubman. A story just came out. Again, they're not naming which Hollywood studio executive wanted Julia Roberts to play Harriet Tubman. But I was just reading a story about more than one Hollywood person who said, that's a true story, I was in his office. I'm sure the name will probably come out at some point. But, you know, casting is extremely important when it comes to movies. And television shows, obviously. But who in the right mind would think that Julia Roberts would be the A-lister to play Harriet Tubman?
My money's on, say it with me, Harvey Weinstein.
That's, well, Frankenstein.
Can't confirm that.
No. Can neither confirm nor deny that at this point.
Yeah, they're...
That's a bit of a stretch.
The man who produced this film, and he was the screenwriter for this film, Harriet, his name is Gregory Allen Howard. And he says when he first started working on the movie, listen to when he started, this idea came up. 1994! Talk about spending a long time on a project. But he said back in 1994 that one studio executive suggested Julia Roberts to portray the legendary slave turned abolitionist. I was just reading a story about it, and he said the climate in Hollywood was very different some 25 years ago. Ain't that the truth? The producer of the movie Harriet said, quote, I was told how one studio head said in a meeting, this script is fantastic. Let's get Julia Roberts to play Harriet Tubman. When someone pointed out that Julia Roberts couldn't be Harriet, the Hollywood executive responded, it was so long ago that no one's going to know the difference. That's what the guy said. The big wig Hollywood studio man who said, I mean, obviously, there's not much of a resemblance there. But I wonder if they were able to get that movie made in the early to mid 90s, if that could have ever happened. There's no way Julia Roberts would have accepted that role. Do you realize how many roles Julia Roberts has turned down? Sharon Stone only got Basic Instinct because Julia Roberts turned that movie down. Sandra Bullock only got The Blind Side, the real-life football story about Michael Orr. She only got that because Julia Roberts said no. Some of the biggest movies that were ever made, Julia Roberts turned down the role. She turned down the lead in the movie Chicago. She turned down the lead in the movie Gangs of New York, which I really liked. That ended up going to Cameron Diaz. There's a list of movies that Julia Roberts turned down, and the only reason these other actresses got those roles, and in some instances won the Academy Award for the best actress, is because they need to thank Julia Roberts for turning down that role. She turned down the lead in Jurassic Park. she turned down the lead in Indecent Proposal?
She turned down the lead in Sleepless in Seattle.
She turned down that? Yeah. Who got that? Meg Ryan?
Yeah. Hmm.
There are tons of them. A movie that I really liked called True Romance from back in the day. She turned that down. But there's Shakespeare in Love. There's a bunch of them. And there's several actresses out there now who have big names, and they can thank Julia Roberts for turning down those roles. But how about Julia Roberts starring as Harriet Tubman?
A bit of a casting stretch.
But I just wonder, in 1994 or in 1995, when this movie started being talked about all those years ago, I wonder if that would have flown then.
But even back then, there were maybe not roles and films of such A-list level, but we always hear about certain groups will gripe about maybe it's a Native American role goes to some other ethnicity or some other actor.
Sure. Well, like a straight person will play a gay person, or a non-trans person will play a trans person. And some people in those groups get upset. And look,
but
I
that's
can understand.
Now. But that's now. I don't know how many of those were occurring in 1994.
No, they were just in back in 1994, they were just hired the biggest actor at the time to play those roles.
I guess so.
And again, it is acting. And so that's what those people do. They act. They play different roles. But here in the year 2019, people's feelings seem to be, I don't know if they're hurt more than they were back in the day, or we're just knowing about their feelings being hurt more because of social media. And speaking of movies, have you seen the trailer for Tom Hanks starring as Mr. Rogers?
Seen some of it, yeah.
He looks a lot like him.
Mm-hmm.
And I just read somewhere where he found out that he's a distant relative of Mr. Rogers.
It's ironic.
Old Tom Hanks. But it's something movies aren't like they used to be. You used to have to go to a movie theater to see a movie. Now you just wait a little while, and then you can watch the movie whenever you want on your own big screen, in your own living room, on your own couch, eating what you want, and it's a lot cheaper. And they can't kick you out for doing certain things. So, anyways, I thought that was fascinating. I want to see that Harriet Tubman movie, though. Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. So if you pay attention to the local news, perhaps you've seen the photos of six women that local police are looking for. Over the last few weeks, they've stole thousands of dollars worth of perfume and fragrances and products from the Oakwood Mall and other Jefferson Parish locations. And when store security confronted them recently, one of the women pepper sprayed the security guard. And according to Jefferson Parish sheriff's officials, this group of six women, they've been involved in multiple robberies in our area over the last month, with at least three stores victimized. And they basically steal the same stuff. They're stealing a bunch of perfume. All six women went into a department store in the Oakwood Mall and stole $5,000 worth of perfumes. And when security confronted them, that's when one of them pepper sprayed the security guard.
That's a bit ironic.
And then later that day, two of the members of the same group went to the Elmwood Mall and stole a bunch of more fragrances. Again, these are all women. And that shows you how times are changing. You didn't used to see this. You didn't used to see women just going into stores and robbing them. And then when they're confronted by security, pulling out pepper spray and spraying them in the eyes. You know, I guess this is more equality. I always used to think, there are certain crimes that you just think men do, and you don't think of women getting together in a gang of six going into stores and robbing them. And that's what's been happening over the last few weeks in Jefferson Parish, and the police are looking for them, and Crime Stoppers, they're telling you to give them a call if you know anything about them. I guess I got to get out of that mindset that some crimes are for men and some crimes are for women. I always thought, you know, the disgusting pervert crimes were always men crimes, like some guy walking into a park and then whipping it out in front of people. You just don't see women do that. That's more of a, like a peeping Tom, like right. I mentioned. You just don't see women looking into people's windows.
And, right. Your thinking needs to evolve because it really, well, it stinks.
Coming up next, Charles Barkley just said something, and a lot of people are calling for his job now.
Oh boy.
A lot of people are saying he shouldn't have his big job that he has right now. We'll explain coming up here on Bayou 95.7.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. I'm a big sports fan. And one of the sports commentators who's very entertaining, and you can't call him politically correct, is former NBA star, NBA Hall of Famer, the great former player Charles Barkley. You see him, he works, he's part of that TNT crowd.
Mm-hmm.
That he's on the pregame show and the postgame show and
right.
such. And
he does college basketball as well.
Yeah, and he's usually very entertaining.
They make him the butt of the jokes, and he's a pretty good sport about it. They make him kind of like the buffoon character.
Sure. Although this morning, why he's making news has got people wondering if he's going to hang on to his job after this. And again, before I tell you what he said, I mean, here's a guy who a few years ago got arrested for picking up a prostitute on the street in Arizona, and he didn't lose his job for that.
He's had a couple of DWI run-ins, DUI.
He's had a few instances. I remember when he was playing, he threw somebody through a window in a bar. He threw him through a plate glass window because he didn't like what someone said to him. But Charles Barkley has always seemed to overcome these things that he's done to himself. This is why people are questioning him this morning. A female reporter was interviewing him, asking him some questions. And evidently, he didn't like one of the questions. And according to the female reporter, he said, quote, "I don't hit women, but if I did, I would hit you," unquote.
Mm-mm-mm. Terrible, terrible, terrible.
The female reporter's name is Alexi McCammond. And she's a reporter for Axios.
Axios is a news and information site founded by two members, former members of Politico.
Okay. And she said that Charles Barkley made that remark after she asked for clarification over which Democratic presidential candidate he supports in the upcoming 2020 presidential race.
Which I don't know why anyone cares what Charles Barkley thinks about that, but...
And didn't he say he was a Republican at one time?
He said so many things, they just, they all kind of run together. I don't remember.
But anyways, she said that Charles Barkley was talking about how he supported the former governor of Massachusetts, who recently entered the race. His name, Deval Patrick.
Mm-hmm.
And then she said that Charles Barkley reversed his stance and said he was approached by a member of Pete Buttigieg's campaign. That's the mayor of South Bend, Indiana, the openly gay guy who's running for president on the Democratic side. And she was confused because she said, well, now Charles Barkley is in favor of Pete Buttigieg and not Deval Patrick. So that's when she questioned him, which one of these guys that do you support? Are you going
to? Right. She's trying to get an answer. A straight answer.
And it was clear that when she asked him that, it was off the record. So that's when he, according to her, made the claim, I don't hit women, but if I did, I would hit you.
And then apparently he told her, when she bristled at that, which most women would, when she told him she objected to that statement, he told her she couldn't take a joke. Now, it's not the first time that Barkley has said something similar. Back in 1990, he was forced to apologize for telling reporters after a win, quote, this is a game that if you lose, you go home and beat your wife and kids. Did you see my wife jumping up and down at the end of that game? That's because she knew I wasn't going to beat her, end of quote.
That was 1990.
Yes.
That was a long time ago, and times have changed. Hell, I just read an interview with New Orleans' own Harry Connick Jr., where he said an old Frank Sinatra was very rude and not politically correct when he met and he talked to his model wife. It just shows you that times.
But I mean, it wasn't right then. But it's we didn't take these people. We didn't take at the time a Frank Sinatra and put them over in the corner. And, you know, Jerry Lewis was from the same era, was infamously, could be just brutal to people and women especially. But nowadays we take them and we put them over here, and many times we require, and I say we, society requires that they lose their jobs. And it's going to be, you know, back in 1990, I'm not sure what he had to do other than apologize, being Charles Barkley, for saying that. But anymore, the sentence, the punishment for these things is to lose your job. So we'll see whether or not he does.
Especially right now in the quote-unquote cancel culture
that
we live in. She says there are almost no times I will break an off-the-record agreement.
Right. She actually tweeted this.
Yeah, but this is not okay, she said. And she also says, quote, I hate being part of the story, because reporters aren't supposed to be part of the story. They're just supposed to be reporting on a story.
Right.
She says, I hate being part of the story. So here's a reminder that this is so much bigger than me. And then she starts giving statistics about women. She says nearly 20 people per minute are physically abused by an intimate partner in the United States. One in four women and one out of nine men experience severe intimate partner physical violence, she said. And she says, it's not about me or my feelings.
Violence against women is never funny. It just isn't. And you can say, well, Charles was telling a joke. You can hide behind anything that you want to in this particular case. You can say, well, it's just Sir Charles being Sir Charles. Or you can say it was off the record. But let me say it again. Violence against women is never funny. And it immediately comes out of the world of being off the record. She is absolutely right in bringing light to this, because people who joke about this, whether it's Frank Sinatra or Charles Barkley, they do damage to the efforts to stop violence against women.
If you're listening right now, I'd like to hear from you. Should he lose his job over this? You can text us at 504-260-9595. Please keep the text short. and not text while you're driving.
And by short, we mean just one good line. Just one good line, not 140 characters, because it's we want to give everybody a chance.
And because if you watch Charles Barkley, like I have, and like Brewster mentioned, half of his gig on TNT when they're talking about basketball, he's the butt of jokes. He jokes around a lot.
Right.
Even if this was a joke, not a funny one, but should he lose his job over this? In the cancel culture we live in right now, I wouldn't be surprised if that happened.
Well, I'm not going to give an answer whether or not I think he should or not. I have to think more about it. I have to consult the tea leaves, actually. But the entities for which he works, and I guess that would be Turner when he does basketball commentary. I'm not sure if he still endorses. I mean, he's a big golfer, not very good, but
got the worst swing ever. That's another joke,
right? And, I mean, they're on him about his weight, about his golf swing, about messing up players' names, this, that, and the other. But, again, you take whatever his employers or whatever companies that he endorses, they cannot be seen to, condone this type of comment, whether it's off the record or whether it was given and it was said as a joke.
It's obviously up to his bosses. Do you think he should lose his job over this? Or do you think, well, wait a minute, he was talking off the record and he said he was making a joke, albeit a bad joke. And I like Charles Barkley. He's entertaining to watch.
He's very funny.
What do you think? Send us a text and let us know. I'd like to hear from you here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Two people from Slidell were just arrested for making counterfeit money. I know that's a dream of many people. Boy, wouldn't have to go to work, wouldn't have to do this, wouldn't have to do that. But it's pretty difficult to make counterfeit money that could actually fool authorities. Two Slidell residents are behind bars. After it was learned, they were manufacturing counterfeit currency, according to the St. Tammany Parish Sheriff's Office.
You know what I bought at Sam's Club the other day? It was like about 10 bucks for a box of 10 of them, I guess, maybe 15 bucks. Actual counterfeit pens where, like if you get a bunch of 20s back from the bank or something, you can actually, it's just like a little marker, and if you mark across it and it turns yellow, it's good. If it turns black, guess what? You got somebody's been hanging bad paper.
Well, police got a search warrant for their home in Slidell. And when they went in there, they found counterfeit money as well as computers and other equipment utilized to manufacture the fake money. Lynn Pominaire and Kenyatta Meads were arrested and booked into the St. Tammany Parish Jail. Yeah, you got to be careful when you're trying to counterfeit money.
We were talking about Charles Barkley and his comments to a reporter, quote unquote, off the record, where he made an allusion to saying that if he didn't hit, he does not hit women, but if he did, she would be the one. And your text responses, as always, will be separated by this sound. The first one is the winner so far. Yes, I agree with Brewster. Violence against women isn't a joke. Yes, I think he should. I think the question we asked was whether or not he should lose his job as an NBA or college basketball analyst, and whatever should people that he and companies he endorses, should they take action against him? Another text says, yes, I think he should, even if it was towards a male. Should be fired. It's not okay. This one says, no, consider the source. Time to issue a pink slip. Hell no, and I guess that means hell no, he shouldn't lose his job. That's our friend Antoine. If she asked him a question and prefaced it with off the record, he could have said, go F yourself, and it's not there for publication. Saying that and saying, I don't hit women, but if I did, I'd hit you, I think is a big difference between that and go bleep. Why are you changing the rules because of what was said at that point? It's one-on-one conversation where she said off the record and anything goes. Hollywood liberals and professional sports players have one job, entertain me.
And he's a very entertaining guy when you watch him do his NBA commentary on TNT.
And one more says, why do we read it any other way than insincere and a morbid attempt at humor in a private, quote, off-the-record conversation? You're trying to make something out of this by reporting it. I don't even care for the guy, but maligning him is just because you can is wrong. Well, I mean, it's a topic that fits into a lot of things that we talk about on this show.
Hey,
male and female relations where they don't get along, sports, media. I mean, that's what we do here.
And I prefaced this whole thing when we started talking about it saying I'm a fan of Charles Barkley. I was a fan when he played. I'm a fan of his commentary. He's the butt of jokes. He's like a walking punchline. This happened to be, if it was a joke, not a good joke, a bad joke, especially in the year 2019 with the hashtag MeToo movement. And the fact that, again, he thought he was talking to her off the record. We'll see if TNT, and that's, I reported it and I talked about it this morning because I'm a fan of the guy. I like the guy and he's making headlines and we'll see what happens. Coming up next, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. And since it's, well, just past 8:35, this is the time of our show where we tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. 380-pound man arrested for possession of a hypodermic needle was found to have methamphetamine wedged deep into his belly button.
Huh?
Well, I'll explain. Following his arrest for possession of a hypodermic needle containing methamphetamine,
all right,
a 380-pound Florida man, shocker, from Florida, he was hit with an additional felony charge after he got into jail and jail personnel discovered a bag of methamphetamine that was wedged very deep within, remember, he's 380 pounds,
right,
within his belly button cavity. So they arrested him on, he's 380 pounds, he's a Florida man.
I have audio.
They arrest him on the street and they find that he's got a hypodermic needle on him and inside that hypodermic needle there was some methamphetamine.
Right.
So they're bringing him to jail. He gets processed. He's already in jail, and that's when the prison guards found a big bag of methamphetamine that was deeply wedged into the 380-pound man's belly button cavity.
Why didn't he play the insulin card like I did? Like I would, like a friend of mine did.
This happened last Friday night. Employees at a McDonald's restaurant in Clearwater, Florida, called the cops.
Where he gets mail, by the way.
He was there. He's 380 pounds. Well, he's a meth head. So the employees there saw something, the needle, whatever, and they called the cops. The cops showed up. They bust him for the needle, and then when they got him in to jail,
right?
You know, he's 380 pounds. His name is Martin Skelly. And he's 41 years old. He lives in St. Petersburg, Florida.
He won't be 41 for long.
And when they were doing, I've heard of cavity searches before in jail, but this takes it to another level. Did you know the belly button is a cavity?
I guess it can be in his case.
You're 380 pounds. It's like a very large cavity.
Like a cavernous cavity.
So following his arrest for possession of the needle, they were searching him and... And they asked him when he was being processed in jail if he was in possession of any other contraband since he could face additional charges. That's what they always tell you. If you watch, they always say, look, if you got anything else on you, you better tell us now before you go behind the cell. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't tell us now, that's going to be a felony.
Right. And
so I guess that's when he said, yeah, check my belly button. And the 380-pound man then.
Joining us on the Celebrity Hotline, let's talk to him. No, not really.
380-pound man opened up his very large belly button, and wow, out popped a bag of meth.
Gross.
How about that? So the man getting arrested.
Florida man.
Florida man getting arrested for having a hypodermic needle, and then when he got into jail, they ended up finding more of crystal methamphetamine wedged deep inside of his 380-pound body's belly button.
Yes. Show of hands, we all believe you.
That's the dumbest thing I read all morning.
Yes.
Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Coming up next on the Osterlin Morning Show, it's our commercial free ride, and there's a word, and we're watching it right now before our very eyes, there is a word that's being removed from our lexicon. You'll hear that next here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. So I guess the state of South Dakota has issues with methamphetamine.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got something here from one of their local television stations up there, and they're saying that they've got it.
This is not the first time the state of South Dakota has maybe, you would say, put their foot in it as far as an ad campaign or a public service announcement campaign trying to rid that state of some of its ills.
I'm on meth.
So am I.
Meth is not someone else's problem. It's everyone in South Dakota's problem, and we need everyone to get on it.
I'm on meth.
They actually trademarked that phrase, meth, I'm on it. Obviously, it's a twist on words. They're trying to get people, try to raise awareness to get the people who are on meth off meth. But they had a wide range of people. They had an elderly gentleman in that first, saying it the first time in a little slice of life of a variety of people.
Yeah, when you're watching the video, the ad of it, you got an old man looking at the camera saying, meth, I'm on it.
Right. And it's attention getting. I'll tell you what it reminded me of, in a way, from a couple of years ago, and I have to be very, well, I'm not even going to say it, because if I mess this up, then we're off for a while, a long while. When Kmart had the slogan about pants and what you might do with pants to have them delivered to you around the holidays.
I remember that.
Yes. And if you're familiar, then you know what we are talking about. We have to be careful saying things, because one slip and But the state of South Dakota back in, I believe, 2014, had a public service campaign that went awry, and this was in we don't deal with this here, obviously, but in South Dakota for a good 5 months of the year, probably they have difficulty in driving. So it's the whole thing of you don't slam on your brakes, you don't turn away from the skid, you actually turn in the direction of the skid driving on snow. So 4 or 5 years ago, they put out this campaign.
Winter driving can be treacherous. Should your tire leave a snowy or icy road, resist the urge to jerk the steering wheel. Overcorrecting only results in chaos. Besides, nobody likes a jerker. Instead, stay the course. Slowly let off the gas and re-enter only after regaining control. Now that's proper driving. Discover more winter driving tips at don'tjerkanddrive.com.
So now all of a sudden you're seeing on taxi tops and bus benches and the sides of billboards, you're seeing hashtag don't jerk and drive.
Yeah.
I like it. I grew up driving in snow. I took my driver's test in snow. I like it.
I've always enjoyed plays on words.
Yes. That's all those are. But South Dakota, people are getting their noses out of joint, shall we say.
It's like that newspaper headline that was going around for a while about young employees getting their first hand job experience.
Yeah, right. It happens.
But you're gonna watch out there. Mm. That's just about going to do it for our show today. Thank you very much for listening. Tomorrow on the show, we're giving away Saints tickets for the game on Sunday against Carolina in the Superdome. It's the Osterlin home game handoff, and we'll have a pair of tickets and a pair of tickets to the pregame party next door at Benson Tower. That's with the great free food and the free booze and all of that. So we'll be doing that tomorrow morning on the show. Ginty is next. Ginty! He's got your music notes at noon. We'll chat again tomorrow morning here on Bayou 95.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.